Enough to have the congressman representing the big first, Dr. Roger Marshall, here in the studios today. And we're going to preempt a little bit of things here today from our typical local newscast because we have a great opportunity here for the congressman. Dr. Marshall, thank you for joining us.
Oh, excited to be here. It's a great day to be back in Manhattan. We have our farm managers meeting this morning. Tonight, we're going to be at the Wabash Cannonball trying to raise money in Kansas City for a Kansas State kid. So a great day to be back home.
All right. Been busy right now. I know we've seen a lot of the goings-on in Washington, D.C. First of all, how excited are you to be out of D.C. and back here?
Well, I got to tell you, it's the most upside-down place I've been to or anything I've done professionally my entire life right now. From the moment Nancy Pelosi got the gavel in her hands, things have just been chaotic. We don't know our schedule day to day, hour to hour. So I'm very glad to be back home. Typically, though, she'll change the schedule on us. We'll be going back the next day, and she just keeps us hopping.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been watching and listening from afar here, and ultimately the one thing getting a lot of attention is the border security here and the president's declaration of a national emergency. First of all, was that the right move, do you think, and where do you see this issue going?
Well, certainly I understand and respect where the president is right now. I can't emphasize enough how important border security is. Border security is national security. I've been to the border myself, and it's a crisis. As a physician, I know a crisis when I see it. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's a national security crisis. I think the president has no other recourse but to go ahead with this. So I'm very disappointed. Congress didn't do its job. We didn't get him all the funding that he wanted before building the border security. So I understand where he's coming from.
Now, we hear a lot about this at the southern border, and I know the president talks a lot about drug trafficking, human trafficking. How much of a problem is that spilling over into Kansas?
Well, I think the humanitarian crisis is for real. Every night we're housing and feeding 40,000 people. We're providing health care screens for probably over 5,000 people every day. We're taking 50 kids to the hospital every day. You know, the human trafficking, they say about 40 to 50 people are human trafficked every day across the border. Believe it or not, Kansas is a top 5 state for human trafficking. And I don't quite understand why, but it's probably mostly geography. Just very simply, where all these interstates meet are in Kansas, and it's a drop-off point. They're housed here, they're hidden here, that type of thing. So it's definitely impacting us in many, many ways.
All right. The political divide there in Washington, D.C., has it made it tougher to do your job out there in the House?
You know, it's interesting. At the highest level, there certainly appears to be a political divide. But I have, since day one, made a huge effort to get to know other members of Congress from across the aisle, have great friendships with many. Every Tuesday night, I have a dinner with 20 Democrats and Republicans. Every Thursday morning is prayer breakfast. There's about 40 of us, Democrats, Republicans, get together. So on the personal level, on the day-to-day basis, it's nothing like the chaos you would see on TV. There appears to be a little bit of a personality conflict between Nancy Pelosi and the president, and that seems to be driving most of the news cycles.
All right. And that's the thing. We know that there's good, hardworking people behind the scenes. You just don't always see it on television.
Yeah, so I think you think about some of the bipartisan bills that we did get accomplished. We did so much for the veterans this past cycle. We're just in Wichita opening up a mental health center there at the VA hospital in Wichita. So that's bipartisan support. We did some huge bipartisan stuff as far as opioid treatment, as far as prison reform. So there's lots of bipartisan things happening, but those never make the headline news.
Well, and another thing is agriculture. You sit on the House Committee on Agriculture. There's some key bills that have been introduced this time around. Water rights and rural broadband come to mind here as a couple of the big ones here. How soon do you guys plan to debate that, and what do you know about those bills?
Yeah, I mean, several of them are well in process. Certainly, the rural broadband, we've actually appropriated money, I think about $800 million for rural broadband across the country, a top priority for some of our ag producers. If I could just talk for 30 seconds about what I think is an important issue in agriculture, and that's mental health. The number of suicides of agriculture producers evidently is the highest rate of any profession right now across the country. After 4 years of horrible commodity prices, bankruptcies are up multiples. Income has been cut in half. I just want to let people know that K-State's Extension has some help for folks. Most of us are pretty proud and don't want to admit that we're having some depression. But the stress now is real. It's very palpable out there. and just want to encourage folks to think about if they need some help to reach out to the K-State Extension folks here, and they'll get you in to the right people to see.
Yeah, so important. Yeah, mental health, a big issue. Of course, we saw the state hospital closing here in Oswego not too long ago. And, you know, so when you hear about stuff like that, that's such a challenge it puts on the rest of the state.
Yeah, again, I think this is another example of a bipartisan solution, is that we appropriated, I think, about $10 billion this last cycle for improving mental health access, a lot of it with telemedicine, which goes back to rural broadband. So I try to look at all these problems not in little silos, but how can one solution help solve several problems? So the high-speed internet is going to help with the mental health access, as well as my farmers who just download literally books of data every day.
And you're a doctor yourself here, and healthcare seems to have gone kind of on the back burner here. What do you think, we'll see any more repeal, replacement of Obamacare? Where's that conversation heading?
Yeah, well, I think that there'll be some one-off pieces of legislation. My focus is driving the cost of healthcare down. And what we're doing is working on bipartisan legislation again that would do that by making healthcare more transparent. And number two is to allow innovation to occur more freely and allow patients to be consumers. So I do think there'll continue to be legislation to improve the situation. Absolutely going to protect people with pre-existing conditions. Think we have some better solutions in the works that'll give each state some more flexibility. I'm working on something called a 1332 waiver, which would allow states to take to get out of Obamacare in the individual market, still preserve your health insurance that you get through your employer.
Okay. We'll be looking forward to hearing more about that. I wanted to ask you here about USDA relocation. Obviously, Manhattan would really like to have that relocation here. What's the latest on that, and where's it going?
Right. So it's the typical government hurry up and wait. So we've all turned in our proposals. Five communities from Kansas have turned in those proposals. And the sounds like the Department of Ag is in basically out there treading water right now. But I just want to encourage people. I think it was clear back in 1999 that Dr. Weefald and Ron Troon started their journey down NBAF. Here we are almost 20 years later, and it's coming to fruition. So I think that this is a typical example of the government. It's going to probably be years until it's funded. And until it's funded, it's hard to make an announcement. So I think Manhattan's in the running. I think that with NBAF being here, it gives us one more piece of the puzzle, just attracting those high-skilled scientists here, the cost of living here compared to the Washington Beltway, moving it out of Washington closer to where the work is actually done in agriculture research makes absolute sense, and it'll be better use of the taxpayers' dollar. So hang in there with me, but be very patient.
Well, as a K-State alum, just seeing that NBAF facility every time you come back, what are your thoughts, and do you brag about that back in D.C.?
Oh, my gosh. It's the crown jewel of Kansas right now. I think so far I've brought four or five people from D.C. back here, including the House Agriculture Chairman, the majority leader at the time, Kevin McCarthy. Of course, the Secretary of Agriculture has been here as well. So it's one of my frequent stops. Love to show it off. Can't wait for it to get up and running. I'm a biochemist major from Kansas State University, and to see this facility go up in my backyard, it's everything I dreamed of as a kid growing up. I was kind of a little bit of a different kid. I read encyclopedias for fun and loved nuclear engineering, loved biochemistry, so it's a dream come true.
Well, good. What else have you got coming up here in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, well, I mentioned tonight we're going to be out at the Wabash Cannonball in Kansas City raising money for K-State kids. We're going to be talking to some DU folks, Ducks Unlimited, in case you don't know what DU means. It's an organization I've been a part of for 25 years, folks that set aside land and do water habitat development for ducks, geese, sandhill cranes, those types of things. Headed over to Pottawatomie County for a Republican convention on Sunday as well. The next weekend, we'll be out in the southwest part of the state, in Garden City, Liberal, Ulysses, parts down there, where a big, big issue is immigration. And, you know, part of the border wall, we didn't quite go there, but the step number one to doing immigration reform is controlling our border. So we'll kind of get our fingertips on what's happening down in southwest Kansas again.
All right. Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the potential for a 2020 Senate run here. I bet you're getting that question a lot.
You know, no one's asked me for 24 hours. you know, we're in no big hurry. I've got a big job to do right now, and we're focused in on that. Probably most importantly is my wife, And I've had a great conversation about it. You know, we started off way back when in November, December, and I said, look, if Senator Roberts retires, people are going to start asking me, and I want to know your opinion. And before I could even finish the sentence, she said, you have to do it. We were coming off a pretty bad election cycle. She was very concerned about the Republican leadership in the state. So I think most importantly is I have her blessing, my daughter and oldest son's blessing. I'm waiting on two more son's blessings. My parents are very much enthused about it. We're certainly getting a warm reception across the state, but we're in no big hurry to decide, and I'm just going to stay locked in on the job I've got in front of me.
All right. Very well. Thought maybe we'd get a little breaking news here, but that's all right.
I understand. I'm just not ready to go there yet. But, you know, it would be great to have another K-Stater in the Senate. Senator Roberts will be some big, big boots to fill. I'm not sure if any other person that I can think of did more for Kansas State University than Pap Roberts. I mean, of course, we got President Weefald and Coach Bill Snyder. They're in a league in and of themselves. But then after that, I started thinking about Pat Roberts. And, you know, NBAF wouldn't be here without Pat Roberts, which wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the great research facility we have in place now in Pat Roberts Hall. So it kind of gave us a leg up on that NBAF bid.
And you probably know about Pat Bosco's retirement coming up here.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. He was a great, great, one of the greatest recruiters, part of the Weefald regime, as I recall. I said we had great dinners in Great Bend every year. We would host one. And Pat and President Weefald would come and just have the party. I mean, it was something we all look forward to. Great recruitment for K-State. Again, a person that maybe was the best at what he did of anybody I've ever seen. So that's a happy, bittersweet note. I wish Pat the very best as well.
Yeah. All right, Dave, you have anything?
Anything you could do to outlaw snow for the next couple of months?
Well, that's encouraging. I don't know what to say about that. The farmers overall are very happy about the snow. It should make for a great wheat crop. On the other hand, it's been, I guess, the wettest winter we've had in quite some time. So we'll have to just take the snow with it. That nitrogen is going to drive into the soil, will help the wheat farmers. So every time you see it snow, just think of a good wheat crop for Kansas.
Are you familiar with the Farm Bureau's efforts to provide health insurance for Farm Bureau members, and do you have a perspective on that?
Oh, I'm just ecstatic. I've been talking to Farm Bureau about this for over 2 years now. You know, I talk about the biggest problem for small businesses across the country is the cost for health care. And that's nowhere more evident than with farmers. You know, they're a small business, and trying to get health insurance has been very expensive for them. So we passed legislation to allow this to happen on the House side. The Senate did not do it, but the administration stepped up to the plate to allow this to happen. So I think it's a great solution, and we'll give the farmers more purchasing power. So and no one should be able to do this better than Farm Bureau. They have the infrastructure to do it. They have the integrity, the respect of their people, and my respect. So I know that they'll do it right, and I'll keep encouraging them and hope they're able to roll it out soon.
All right. Predictions on K-State this weekend?
So we got Oklahoma State at home, right? 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Coming off on a big victory against West Virginia. It's been fun to see West Virginia get put back in their place after their coach left us high and dry a couple years ago. I'll never forgive him for that. But we traded up, got a better coach now. Oh, wow. So I'm excited about it. We're still a game up on the Jayhawks down the river there. And look forward to a Big 12 championship, a great seed. What do you think will be a number 4 seed going into the tournament, maybe?
Ugh, Dave might have a better perspective on that.
You know, I don't follow that too much. All I can tell you is that, you know, K-State wins Monday, my year's totally complete.
There we go. No, I'm trying to lobby for a number 4 seed for the Wildcats. We need a strong finish this year. Look forward to seeing them in the playoffs somewhere during March Madness.
You just got to be careful about that potential Senate run and what you say about that other river, that other school down the river, right?
Okay. I've been feeling no one from Lawrence is listening to our discussion today.
Probably not. Well, Congressman, it's great having you in here. Thanks for stopping by, and good luck to your Wildcats.
Hey, thanks a lot. Everybody have a great, great weekend. Go Wildcats. Emaw.
All right. Great to have you here, Congressman. Thank you for joining us. It's 8:17, running a little bit late, but when you have an opportunity to have a congressman live here in the studio, we're going to take full advantage of that. Mitch Fortner has our morning sports next on K-Man.